In the Gospel just now sung for this Good Samaritan Sunday, our blessed Savior says, "Blessed are the eyes that see." And in the parable he tells, "And seeing him, he passed by." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Blessed are the eyes that see that this story of the Good Samaritan is more than a story. This parable plays itself out in the daily life of a Christian. And sometimes we play a role in it. More often than not, I think, and certain days, we double up on our roles. But it is no play, nor are we actors in a performance. Every day, you and I go down to Jericho. The day is not so long, 24 hours in a day. Jericho was about 20 miles or so south of Jerusalem. But it was only by means of a windy, uneven road, a road full of caves and culverts where thieves could easily lurk. And some days, blessed are your eyes if you see it, some days when you're on Jericho Road, you are the thief. And other days, you are the victim or the Good Samaritan who, seeing him, is moved with compassion. But some days, I say, we double up our roles. Today's saint, Philip Benizi, was one of the early saints of the Servites, the servants of our sorrowful mother in medieval Italy. Once it happened to him to be victim both and good Samaritan when he was already advanced in years, and he was so esteemed in the church that he had to hide himself lest the cardinals should elect him for a pope. Well, one day he went to a certain city to preach peace between the Guelphs and the Ghibellines, that is to say, the pro-papal party and the pro-Roman emperor or German emperor party, which was rather anti-clerical. Now, this split separated Italian society for well over a century. And it was far more bitter than anything we know of in social life today. I mean, people may raise their voice and get angry at a public meeting about whatever Obama's up to, but that's the end of it. But these people, when they saw each other in the streets, would fall to fighting and oftentimes to killing each other. Just as much as the Jews hated the Samaritans and vice versa, so in the Middle Ages did the Guelphs and the Ghibellines. Well, one day our saint is in a certain city in Italy, and he's preaching peace beautifully right in the street. And some young hothead of the imperial party comes up to him, and he insults him, and he punches him in the nose, and he knocks him down. This venerable old man. But the young man who had attacked the priest ends up himself being struck with contrition at seeing the dignity of Christ's representative there in the dust. St. Paul tells us in today's epistle, doesn't he, about how the ministration of glory abounds in glory. That is to say, the priesthood of the New Testament. And this young man can't help but notice the forbearance, the forgiveness and the kindness in the eyes of the old friar he's just knocked down to the ground. Now, in so doing, St. Philip was only doing his duty, imitating the Master, "Father, forgive them," and all of the saints after our Lord. "Revenge thyself," for example, says St. Augustine, "but as the saints revenge themselves." How's that? to return good for evil. So St. Philip, having fallen among thieves, is beaten, but he's not conquered, and he becomes a good Samaritan, dusting himself off and getting up. And the thief has the wounds of his soul dressed and healed in an instant. He changes his life. He goes on himself to become a saint, Peregrine. He himself enters the same order. And although he preached peace, he also spent years away from people in prayer and in penance. And Saint Peregrine is one of our cancer saints. He had a terrible cancerous tumor on his foot. And the night before it was to be amputated, he was praying before the crucifix. And at some point during the night, our Lord came down from the cross and he healed him. Blessed are your eyes if you can see it. If you can see deeper still, how is it that on those days when we fall among thieves, they become our good Samaritans with every punch and with every insult? They steal, it is true, our peace of heart. They grab our good name and tear it to shreds. And yet, the saints say, this is just what the doctor ordered for our souls. The pouring in of wine, travelers back then always carried a little wine with them, not only for refreshment, but because it was an astringent, and you'd pour it into a wound to clean it. Of course, it would sting. It stings. But then it serves a good purpose, and in God's good time comes the soothing oil. This, too, is the teaching of the saints, astounding though it may be. St. John the Golden-Mouthed, Chrysostom, he was bishop of Constantinople way back when, went on and on about it one day from the pulpit. He explained to the people how we can turn to our advantage the offenses of our neighbor. Never say, he says, that your enemy has poured out injuries on you. Say rather, he's poured out wine and oil. Don't say, he's calumniated me. He's hurt me. Because the more of these things you bear, the greater good your enemy has done you. He's given you the chance to obtain pardon for your sins. Or do you presume on God's pardon so easily that you never give it a second thought? The greater harm he does you, the greater chance that you will be forgiven. Don't take that one for granted. No one can do us harm, not even the devil, we learn in the book of Job in the Old Testament, because God makes everything to be a motive of reward. That's the essential optimism of the divine plan. Think for a moment of all the good that comes to you from the assaults of your enemy. You could count them. First, foremost, the forgiveness of your sins. Second, patience and perseverance. Who doesn't need an increase of those? Third, meekness, to be like the Sacred Heart himself. And fourth, to manage to live without hatred. Should you do so, you will merit the mercy of God for your sins. Has your neighbor, has the robber done you a great injury? Take pity on him, says St. John. It's not you who have offended God this time around. It's him, after all. But think of Christ, who, when he was going to be crucified, didn't think about himself. He thought about his murderers. But then you say, but there's the fact that he's harmed me in front of all of these people who now think less of me. St. John says all that means is he's dishonored himself in front of all of those people. And then there's still the matter of appearing before God to be judged. Now, if it seems to you too hard, and sometimes in our life it does, to imitate God in this respect, I've known even the faithful of this church the past years who stayed away from the Holy Communion and then finally from Mass itself because they couldn't bring themselves to imitate God in forgiveness. Well, St. John says, if God seems too high and distant, imitate man. Think of your Bible stories of the Old Testament. Think of Moses, who sings so beautifully in today's offertory verse to God on behalf of his own people. He says, Dear Lord, he says, they're your people and they're my people. And if you won't forgive them, then scratch my name out of the book of life. Or of St. Paul, who said he would be excommunicated and worse for the sake of his own fellow Jews. Or St. Stephen being stoned, thinking of the stoners, praying for their forgiveness. And how many saints down throughout the centuries did the same thing? There was a third order Dominican sister, St. Catherine of Bologna. She rejoiced at the insults and at the slights that were given her in life. And they say that she thirsted for more. So did Saint Ignatius. Sometimes he had to be refrained from doing outrageous things just so people would think less of him because it would have hurt the work that he was beginning of the Jesuits. But at the very beginning, he was quite pleased to be arrested by the Holy Inquisition and thrown into prison. Saint Gregory the Great tells the story of a certain monk and abbot named Stephen, who not only loved to be insulted and calumniated, think about that, he loved it, but he even loved the annoyances of daily life that other people are always throwing up at us, so that he would always make it a point, affectionately, to thank, and sincerely, those who had done these things to him. The robbers became his good Samaritans. The people who were seeking some ecclesiastical favor or advancement in Milan in the time of St. Charles Borromeo, worldly clerics and laity, used to despair. And they would say, the only way to get St. Charles to do you a favor is to become his enemy. And then he'll do anything he possibly can for you. Now, there's, last of all, a final blessing I want to invoke upon the eyes of your soul this morning. Consider, we haven't spoken of them yet, the role of the Old Testament priest and Levite, who, seeing the man beaten in the road, passed on by. Not indeed that any of us, when we see some need for compassion or charity, should ever walk on by, God forbid. But there is many a sin which seems to be being committed, which we don't need to stop and to notice. Attende tibi, says St. Paul. Pay attention to yourself. Take heed to thyself. And one of the great abbots of Egypt, the abbot pastor, says, that means very simply, don't get caught up in someone else's business. Look, what are your duties? What are your responsibilities? You have all that you can do to take care of your own soul. Or do you presume that saving your soul is so easy a business that you can put the car on autopilot and it will take you to heaven? Your soul, that's why you're here. your perfection. And don't put confidence that at the final grading, God's going to grade on a curve in consideration of everybody else. He's not. You'll stand all by yourself before God to be judged. Do you really have time to waste asking questions and speculating about your neighbor? A wonderful patron saint for this is the patron saint of our dear altar boys. His feast fell just before Assumption, St. John Birchman's. He was a Belgian, lived in 18th century Europe, but he's almost an American to us in a sense because he's the only saint we know of for sure who appeared in the United States at the Grand Coteau in Louisiana. He appeared and he healed a nun, a postulant for the Madams of the Sacred Heart, and this was one of the miracles needed for him to be beatified under Pius IX. He paid, they say, he paid so much attention to himself that he actually had no time to be thinking about other people or to notice what they were doing wrong. He was a saint who became one because he walked on by, except in the matter of anything he was obliged to by obedience or by charity, especially charity for the sick whom he loved. But as to seeing the faults of others, he thought so little of that that even when something was being done right in his presence, he couldn't tell you afterwards exactly what had happened. Now, his life was no bed of roses. As a boy, he had to beg his dad to let him go to school. His father wanted him to be a shoemaker and help in the family business. And back then, you paid for your tuition. He had to work his way through school. Probably appreciated it a whole lot more. He ended up getting a job as a servant for a very worldly priest who had caused great grief to his bishop and certain scandal, even in the city. And this is how, unusually, this saint, who became a Jesuit seminarian, learned all about hunting dogs, because this priest spent a great amount of his time hunting and how to take care of them and all the rest. And many's the time, he as a high school student would have to stay up late serving a rather late night boozy dinner party where the conversation was far from edifying. And he would be up first before the first light of the morning to start the fires, to do all of his duties at the house for the priest, and then to say his morning prayers and get over to church and serve at least two masses before classes started. He didn't have time to pay attention to the faults of others. He was saving his soul. And he was a saint. Do you really have that much time to kill in your life? Blessed would your eyes be if you could see yourself every day down there on that road to Jericho. And then stop and ask now, oh, who am I today? I mean, robber or victim or Samaritan or Levite or priest. If only I could see the good that needs to be done. If only I could see the good being done to me, even when it stings. Why, how could I help but be good and to save my soul? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.